First of all, I'd like to apologize for starting in frankly, it was very, pressed the time preparing for the whole week. And actually the next 5 years or so. And we're actually preparing for tomorrow. Tomorrow and every night this week, we will be continuing a series on the Yoga Sutra. That began last fall, and it's been going for, we've been doing one chapter every 6 months. And then after that, we'll go on to some other yoga classes. So in New York, we've been doing one chapter every 6 months. I don't know if there's, is anyone space there? Yeah? Alright. That's mostly booked out, but if you really want to know Yoga Sutra, you're welcome to talk to Kimberly. Would you like to stand up? She's in charge of Yoga Studies Institute, and that's late every night, this is 8 to 10. And I know you'll get your homework late tomorrow. And it's a nice course. It's an in-depth course about the Yoga Sutra. So, we've been sort of working on that. So, then just to let you know how this class will go tonight, we'll go for a good time, then we're going to take a good break this time, because we're not in enough tonight. And we had a lot of people that wanted us to shake hands last night and didn't have time. So, we'll take a nice break. You can clean out the fundraiser bank sale, okay? Anything that doesn't sell, I'll get to have, okay? that's it to help me do all sorts of stuff. Yoga center, outreach center, meditation center.
Please eat everything.
Please eat everything. Please don't eat anything. And then we'll start on the... we're going to go a little bit more on the Mahamudra meditations tonight, and then we'll start with the Mahamudra physical practice. And we'll be going through the basis of the teaching on the physical practice. And then by the end of tonight, we'll be finished with that. And we'll be ready to do the physical practice on a week from Monday downstairs. I don't know, it looks smaller to me than 100 asana mats, so I didn't register, okay? We might have people out in the hallway, you know. But then we'll be actually doing the physical exercises of Mahamudra. And you don't need to be a yoga person, you don't need to be physical. You can be a couch potato, a klutz, bookworm, asana. And it has exactly the same effect on it. Okay? So it doesn't matter what you're, it's the real yoga and not some kind of gymnastics or something like that. It's not a jogging or something like that. It's not like distasteful like exercise. Okay? It's a way to open your channels. Okay? And anyone can open your channels. Doesn't matter what condition you're in. So Krishna is going to start us on, we're going to leave you in meditation up to this point and then start going into meditation. We've been talking about Mahamudra is a unique practice because you use the inside, you do certain meditations from the inside, and then you do certain physical exercises from the outside. So you're working to clear a channel from the inside of the body, by Roto-Rooter or Daniel, and then you're banging on the pipe with a stick from the outside, translucent, right? From both sides. Mm-hmm. And like any other practice, it won't work unless there are other things there also. So I started that process yesterday. But, we could teach you these six meditations, and then you could come on Monday, next Monday, and you could learn all the exercises. And if you don't have the proper context, right, if you don't have the proper preparation, you would hurt your neck, or you would fall asleep during your meditation. You see, you need to plant certain seeds in your heart, which will grow while you're doing an exercise or while you're doing a meditation. All meditation and all physical yoga has the same seeds. So if you don't have those seeds and we just teach you some kind of practice, you'll fail. And then you won't be happy, right? So there's a whole context, there's a whole group of practices you have to be doing. And the first one of all we spoke about last night, that is to find, make it a goal in your life to find a master at whatever practice you wish to learn. If it's Mahamudra, then find a Mahamudra master. If it's meditation, then find a meditation master. If it's yoga asana, then find a real master. It's a deep thing in Tibet. It was tradition to, if you heard there was a yoga teacher down on such a street, you were supposed to go down, meet their students as they were coming out of the center, take them out for coffee, ask them about this teacher, what are they like, what's their background, what's their training, talk to their students. That process by tradition takes 9 years. You don't go to a yoga class until you like investigate it. You're like an investigative reporter, you know, and you want to find out all the dirt on this teacher. And you go and you ask hard questions, and you ask, are they really qualified? Do they have a good personality? Do they really care for their students? You know, are they a good teacher? Sometimes people know the thing and they're not a very good teacher. Sometimes there's a really good teacher, but they don't know anything. So you need to really make it, you have to make a goal, a mission. Find the one who knows what you want, but check them out carefully before. Very carefully. Then, when you check them out, when you're satisfied, you know, when everything is ready, then you go and you learn from them. Once you make a decision to go and learn from them, then you have to show respect. Then you have to be respectful. Then you have to be a real disciple. You have to treat them like a master. If they are a master. If they're not a master, you shouldn't have gone, right? You're supposed to investigate them first. But when you're satisfied, then you approach them properly, respectfully, and you make a bond with them. And that bond is a source. They call it Yin Shishuma. So Yin Shishuma. It's the source of all attainments. The bond between the student and the master, right? You gotta have this bond, or you won't go anywhere. So that's the first of all. That's the first thing of all. And I'm not saying myself or Christy or anything like that. You find a master, but you take time, and you don't go, this is only a 100-yard. You know? It's your, anything to 100-yard, they'll eat it. You know? Whether it's a roll or a piece of meat or anything, they'll eat it, right? Don't be like that. Don't gobble down the first thing you come across. Be selective, you know? Look around. Find a real master. And then make a bond with them. You see, that's the first thing of all. The second preparation would be it's a contemplation on how lucky you are. Okay? Like, you are so lucky. And you have everything you need. You are living in the wealthiest and most stable country that has ever existed. You know? You are one out of millions of people. You know? You have enough to eat. Look, sit around New York. Look around, you walk around New York. You know? The biggest problem you have is to decide whether you want sprinkled cinnamon on your cocoa or not. You know? That's like the biggest issue that you have to deal with all day. Normally, you know? And whether or not there's an extra seat at Starbucks or something. You are, karmically, you have risen to the top of the evolutionary heat, you know. You live in complete comfort, you live in rather high degree of peace and stability in this country. You don't have to think that people are going to attack from Connecticut and kill all the people in New York City. No, most people have never lived in those circumstances. You're in a unique situation. Externally, you have all you need to do. And then internally, as far as your body and your health, you're strong, you're healthy, that won't last, you see? It's a unique time in your life. You know, you're young enough to get here. You can stand out. You can get here. To live in Manhattan or in the New York area, you have to be sharp. You have to be able to make a living. You know, people here are different. And you're one of them. Like, you have this... You have a lot of good karma pushing you. You know, you have incredible pockets. Having good karma, you have. And from a tantra point of view, from a Mahamudra point of view, you have what we call five or six elements in your body. You have certain channels in your body. You have masculine power or feminine identity that you have is strong, it's powerful. You have certain components of your inner body, chakras, channels, winds, that are unique. You see, many people don't have those. Many times of life, many forms of life don't have those. Yeah, evolutionarily, spiritually, you're at the top. And you live in a world, you live in a country where you are free to do what you want, you see. And you take it for granted. I mean, it's never been like that. In most countries, you know, if you don't do our kind of yoga, you go to prison. You know what I mean? If you don't bow down to our picture in our church, you go to prison, you know, or we kill you, or we suppress you, you know. This is, what's going on in the United States is totally abnormal for world history, you know. No one's telling you what to do. You have complete power to do any practice you want. There's no government agency going to stop you from doing Mahamudra, you see? And that's not the case in most of the countries in the world, in history. It's just never been that way. And you don't have this, like, established church here that's telling you you can't look into this practice, you can't investigate this practice, you can't see if it can see. You have to do what the church says, or we'll burn you at the stake or something. You see, we're not in that. You don't know how different you are. You have everything going for you. You have everything. So that's the positive way, you know. I mean, Obama would look at an American and say, man, you know, spiritual soul mind, just waiting for God, you know, everything, they have everything, and a good education, very critical education, scientific education, which is good. They ask questions, they're not satisfied with some answers, they don't believe everything you say, they raise their hand, why are you that? You know, and even in a very different, you've been brought up, you have all the tools, you have all the education, you have all the power. And you have these teachings that have come to our country. You see, they're available. You have everything. In Tibet, if you lived in Lhasa, you would see the Dalai Lama once a year. He would come out of the Phetala Palace on New Year's in a palanquin, you know, on four guys' shoulders, in this covered cabin, and they would take him once around the city and take him back to them. It's like Macy's. Day, what do you call it? Thanksgiving Day prayer. You could see him over somebody's shoulder. You might see that his nose or something through the curtain of his palanquin. And then he's back up in the palanquin. This is the first Dalai Lama in history that you can see, that anybody can see. So you have everything going. You have everything going for you. The downside of that is you must die. You must lose everything. Everything. All the things I mentioned, you will lose. Okay? The strength you have, you'll lose it. How? By breathing. By breathing. It takes energy to breathe. You use it up, like a candle. Every minute you breathe, you're using up an energy. You know, and it will come to an end. You're not, your life is not infinite. You know, go around different places and meet the people who, even in yoga studios, you go to yoga studios, you know. I was in some of the studios of the greatest masters in the world, in India, and they get to this very sad point where they show you pictures. You see? I was in, like, the greatest... I was in Master Yaya, I'll say it. Master Yaya's library. I was sitting in Master Yaya. He's showing everybody pictures. Why? Because he can't do those things anymore. He's too old now. He's like, this is me in 1948, I was doing this talk, this is me in 1963, I said, this is 1980, I was already 60 years old, I was doing this talk. And then, you know, It's the point where you stop showing pictures, or you stop talking about what you used to be able to do, because it's, you use up your energy. It's not intimate. You're using it up now. I used to joke, my boss, I used to work in this company, the boss, one of the owners was very incredibly wealthy, and I would go with her to Tokyo. We'd do six countries in 6 days, Tokyo, Taiwan, Singapore, factories, diamond factories, jewelry factories. And then I got to carry the bags, you know, to the airport. They're paying me like six figures to carry the bags to the airport. It's amazing, you know. And I'm the vice president of 800 people. But between us, I'm the bag carrier, you know. So I'm, and I walk, we would go to Tokyo, we'd have appointments all day. She'd cancel one of the appointments, and I'd say, why? And she'd say, I have to go to the cosmetic shop. Best ones in the world, Shishuku or something. And, you know, so we went there, and I was embarrassed to go inside. I used to stand outside. And she would go in, and I'd be holding all the bags. And she'd come out 4 hours later. Totally different face, you know, every hair in place, you know, even the eyebrows, and all that. Completely changed. Nobody makes makeup like the Japanese. You have to buy a hair, you know? And then I looked at her, and I thought, you know, she's 2 hours older than when she went in. You see? She's got 2 hours more wrinkles than when she went in. You see? Like the time it took her to buy the stuff that has the wrinkles, she got new wrinkles, right? And that's the way we are. That's the way we are. By the time I finish telling you about how short your life is, it's going to be shorter. You see what I mean? That's the way we are. It doesn't last. It doesn't last. Meeting teachers, it doesn't last. Political stability, you think America's stable, it doesn't last. You think America's economically strong, it doesn't last. It's come and gone. You think, you know, all the things you take for granted. Religious freedom, we lost half of our freedoms, citizens' freedoms in our community retreat. We got our community retreat. We went to the library. They handed us a form. It said, sign here. Why? The government wants to know what books are checking out. You see? The government can track what books are checking out. Like, are you kidding? This is your job, right? No. You were in the 3 years in the tree. You didn't hear about this. You know? And not yet. It's unbelievable. It can happen in a week. It can happen in a month. They can tell you you can't do Muhammad. You see? Whatever incredible circumstances you have, health, youth, intelligence. I have a student who got really sick one night. He's like the smartest, one of the smartest students we have. And then he got all scared of it. Like a week later, he comes in and he's like, I got really scared this week. Why? I realized that even my mind, I can use my mind in a week. You know, get real sick. Get really sick. You can't think after that. And maybe I don't know if I can think. And then as you get older, your mind is slower. It's just slower. You can't help it. You gotta pull it off now. You see? Mahamudra is not a luxury. Mahamudra is not some kind of, oh, one more practice I can add to my repertoire of things I don't do in the morning. You know what I mean? It's not like that. It's just an honor. It's like a rare blessing. And you have to go for it now. You know, who knows in a week? Who knows in a month? Who knows in a year? Where you be? So that's the positive way we're supposed to prepare for Mahamudra thing. God damn, I got everything. I am just absolutely unbelievable. I'm on the top of the Carnegie. You are one person out of 100 million in here tonight. You are one out of 100 million. You are special. You have incredible seeds. You can just mind and tonight. That's the good part, okay? Bad part is you're losing it every hour. You're losing all those opportunities every hour. Now we go back to the good part, okay? Which is the potential of what you can do. You see? Because you have all of these chances, resources at your disposal, because you are healthy, young, intelligent, you can do your work, you can do these special meditations, you can think about these special meditations, you can get enlightened in this life. So what's that? You know, people are like, I don't know, we have Jain friends. We went to Bombay, they're diamond dealers, they're extremely wealthy, they took us up on this mountain. You know, it cost, I don't know, $100 million to make a sidewalk? There's a big sidewalk there, a marble our friends made. Okay, our friends built it, their names on it. Up to the high top of the mountain. You know, they're incredibly, just like incredibly wealthy people, right? And then they get up to the top of this holy mountain, you remember that? And they have their Jain Mahavir, it's called Mahavir, like a Jain Buddha, right? And they said, this is Mahavir, and he's special. Why? Only one every billion years or something. You see? Only one person can get to Mahavir every billion years. So what's the chances? My friend's name is Dhirubhai. Dhirubhai, what's the chance you can become Mahavir? No chance. No chance. No one can do that for me. It would take a billion years. No one can do that, you see? But that's not true. I mean, from our point of view, everybody in this room can become an enlightened being in your life, in your lifetime. You can do it. If you practice well, you can do it. And it's something you are supposed to do. Okay? It's what you're supposed to do in your life. Okay? You're not meant to eat and sleep and work hard and die. You're not meant to die. You were born here for a reason. You were born in this country for a reason. You're exposed to these teachings for a reason. You're here tonight for a reason. There are no mistakes in karma. There's no coincidences in karma. Everything has a purpose. You are being prepared for something. People are preparing you for something. Since you were a child, every movie you ever saw was prepared for you. Every book you ever read was prepared for you. Every person you ever met was preparing you for something. It really is Truman's world. Okay? Like, it really is like that. People are preparing you. You have to live up to it. You have to. At some point, you have to say, man, I get it. I could become a being who could help hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people, directly, at the same time, sitting next to each one of them. I can do that. Every human being has that power. Mahamudra is just to bring out that power. You already have the seeds. You already have that capacity. You just need to bring it out of you. You see, each person here is meditating like that. And so get excited about this meditation. And think about your destiny. Think about why you're here. You're not here just to get old and, you know, eat, have so many Starbucks cookies and then die. You know, it's not that. It's not like that. You're here for one higher thing. And you know it, you sense it. Ever since you were a kid, you knew that. Something higher is supposed to happen. So practice it while you can. Okay, we'll do the next meditation. We do have to do this meditation continually. It's good to do the meditation with groups sometimes, with other people. It's like yoga, you know, we try to go to an outside class, we go to our houses, we sit in the cafe, every yoga center we try. We go to the new city, the first thing we do is go to where we find out what's the nearest yoga center. And we just go. And it's just as fun to be with other people. You know, we don't even know who they are or what kind of yoga center they need. We just go. Because my lama, my first lama, my teacher on the right, 30 years ago, he used to say, if you take one pencil and try to break it, it's easy. If you take 30 pencils and try to break that, it's hard. And if you have a room full of people who are meditating, it's like 30 pencils together. You see? And the energy is good. So, I think Jain Scholar is going to be leading some Mahamudra meditations in the following weeks. I think they're the visuals? I mean, yeah. And then the asanas that we'll be teaching next week will be continually taught with the visuals. And keep it going, okay? It's the only way you can succeed. It's the only way you can succeed. You can't do it from one talk. You can get excited from one talk, but then the next day you gotta go out and do something. And it's easier with other people at the beginning. We always do our practice together. And it balances out. Like half the time, I want to do it, half the time, she doesn't want to do it. And except for like a day, we both want to do it on the same day. We're going to have fun together. One meditation you should know, okay? when you're not feeling so good, when you're kind of down, when you don't feel like anything, just sit on your seat, close your eyes, think about how lucky you are. You know? Think about all the people who are helping you. It's called a Thalam, Thanksgiving meditation. From the time you were a kid up to now, someone's been helping you every hour of the day. You are handed on like a baton from person to person. First the guy in the alley wraps himself, you know, and then the policeman walks by and he's making sure no one loves you, you know, and then you walk into the store and the salesman is there, can I help you, you know, and then you're just being handed from person to person. So think about it sometimes. When you don't feel so good about your meditation, this is a way to get over obstacles. Just think about how lucky you are. How many people have spent their lives taking care of you? And the more you do the meditation, then when you walk out on the street every day, you just like see everybody's out to help you. It's like a reverse paranoia. You know, everyone's trying to help you. Get it? You know, we're all trying to help you, man. Come on. You know, and then you just feel happy, you feel good. That brings me to the next preparatory practice that we do. It's called Saktan. Say Saktan. Saktan. This is the preparation for Mahamudra. In other words, if you hope to succeed in this cool kind of yoga, if you hope to do this meditation to where you see some ultimate reality, you gotta have Saktan. Sat means collect new good karma. Like, you need such powerful new good karma. You got enough good karma to get here tonight and yesterday. But frankly, you just used it up. Okay? You just sent that bad karma, you know? It's down to zero again. You see? It's very nasty, this karma thing. You see? Like, you got this talk, you got someone talking, authentic talk about Mahamudra. And then you used up that karma. Tomorrow you won't have that karma. You see, you gotta keep making new powerful karma, or you won't have enough to practice Mahamudra. You'll forget it, you won't make it to the usual 3 to 5 lectures, you know? You'll decide you don't feel like doing yoga this morning. You won't have enough good karma to want to do it, you see? The bad thing is you don't even know that you don't have the karma anymore because you don't want to know. Because you don't have the karma to know. It's very weird, okay? It's a weird thing. So how do you make the best karma faster? Here it is. There's nothing like this. This is worldview number 7, okay? We're telling you 6 different models of the world. This is number 7. Honest to God, this is number 7, okay? This is beyond all the others. You walk out the street, and you look around, and you try to spot someone who's an angel. You go to work, and you try to spot the one person at work who is an angel. You go to the kitchen, sit with your family for dinner. You look around the table, say, which person is an angel? Okay? There's always one. There's a big planet to take care of you, special. You know? It's like a date with an angel. I never saw that. But anyway, there's one planet everywhere. So this is an incredibly intense method to collect good karma. This is the easiest and most powerful way to collect good karma there is. And it don't cost you nothing. You see? It's totally free. You don't have to sign up for anything anywhere. You see? You just get on the bus, you flop yourself down, and you look across from you, or the center. Say, which one is it? You see? Which one is it? Just thinking that way is the fastest, most powerful karma you can collect. Okay? So that's sat. That's a sat. Now, we have sat done, okay? And I think that didn't take very long, but that's the coolest thing I can tell you. So try it. And make it a practice every single day. Every single day. Everywhere you go. Right? Maybe a whole room full of them. But anyway, I finished the talk. Sat down. That means, get rid of your old bad karma. Okay? It's one thing to collect your good karma, but you got all this old nasty karma, right? You got all this old nasty karma. And they say, go into your old nasty karma from the worst ones first. Like, whatever it was, you know, the most serious negative thing you've done in your life, okay? Or that you're doing now, like if you just have a tendency towards anger towards a certain, you know what it is. Okay, when you think real hard, you'll come up with the second worst one. If you think real hard, if you really meditate on it, you'll come up with the second worst thing you're doing, or the second worst thing you do. Because no one wants to talk about the first one, you see? No one wants to think about the first one. It might be the person sitting right next to you, you see? And it's hard to admit it, you see? So don't be satisfied with the second most negative thing you're doing. Like, be super honest with yourself. Say, you know, really, honestly, the most serious thing I'm doing is this other thing, you know? Which I really don't want to suffer in. Okay, then, jhana, sakjhana, the best way to purify all that karma. Maybe you do something when you're 20 years old. Maybe you're doing something now with someone who's sitting right next to you. You know? You don't know. Whatever it is, your heaviest bad habit, the heaviest block you have in your life, then just do the opposite for a short time. Okay? For a short time. Like if you have a habit of anger towards a certain person, then you say, okay, today from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, I won't get angry with this person. And then, you know, what I do is I usually go in the bathroom and lock myself there. You know? Like, 2:45 in the bathroom, you know? I used to do this at work, you know? Okay, 15 minutes, I can't be angry with this person. I'll just go sit in a stall in the living room, you know? And they think you have diarrhea or something, and you stay in there and you lock your door, and you're just there for 15 minutes. You're keeping your bow, you're keeping your commitment, you know? Because if I see this person, I'm going to get mad at him. I know. I'm not doing that. If I see him, I'm going to be upset with him. So, just, that's what monasteries are for. I mean, it's called, the word in Tibetan is the morality of avoidance. You see? Just avoid the object. You see? In a monastery, you don't see God. So you go to a monastery, you don't have that problem. You don't have to fight with it. There's just nothing that goes there. Standing. And that's called, it's a very low level of morality. But sometimes when you're not up for it, that's all you can do. So pick a time, 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. I'm going to be totally a nice person. I'm not going to get angry at this person. And it might be so difficult for you that you might have to just avoid them for that hour. You see what I mean? As you get stronger, you can be with them for 10 minutes and then go to the bathroom for 15 minutes. You say, you know, I'm not kidding. I've done it. And then as you get stronger and stronger, you can start calling them up when you're not at work, you know, and talk to them on the phone, ask them out for dinner or something. See if you can put it up with them for 9 hours, 10 hours, you know, and like that. So that cleans all bad karma. So whatever old bad karma you have, everybody has a story. Everybody has something that they screwed up when they were 19 or something. You know, we all have that story. Pick the karma that you have, the heaviest karma that you know you need. And we call search and destroy. Search and destroy means you can negate that karma if you just avoid it now for a certain period of time. Say, I'm going to avoid it for an hour. You know, I won't do that for an hour. I won't yell at anybody for an hour. Okay, something like that. Somebody asked my Lama in Sarah, just to mention, how much have you got to do this to wipe out all that karma? He said it depends on the karma. Okay, like if you were particularly angry with someone, we say, for example, abortion is murder, according to Buddhism. Abortion is murder. When the sperm meets the egg, there's a consciousness enters the body at that time. So, you know, many people in America, both men and women, have been involved with that. So, if that was something you have done, you might want to, like, volunteer at a hospital to help for an hour or something like that, or you might want to just help a single mother, you know, like, buy groceries for her, or, you know, arrange your babysit the kids for a couple of hours or something like that. Then you dedicate it to that old karma. You send it back to that old karma and it destroys it. I call it such a destroyer. It's like a cruise missile. You send it back in time and it hits that bullseye kind of, and then it destroys the bullseye kind of. So if it's something serious like taking a life, then you might have to do it 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and then you get signs that the karma is purified. You feel some lightness, you feel some happiness, your conscience feels clear, you start having dreams about flying, you can have dreams about having a blister open on your body and burst. Some people have a dream about growing up. Some people have dreams about white light, white things, white general light. And then these are signs that the karma is being cleansed, and you won't have to experience any results from it. So that's two sides of Mahamudra preparation. Satyam. Sat. Collect the most powerful good karma you can. Just each day when you go out on the street, which person here is an angel? That thought in itself is one of the most powerful karmas you can do. It's worth days of other kinds of good deeds. Just for a few minutes, it's worth many days of other kinds of good karma. Okay? And then the other side, pick the worst things you have, pick the worst habits you have, go after them. How? Do the opposite. How long? As long as you can. 5 minutes? 10 minutes? 5 days? You know, set a time that's good for you, and then that actually destroys the old bad karma. Then when you go into asana class next Monday, and you gather the yoga in your mind, and this guy says, stretch out your leg and grab your toe. And you're like, could I grab my knee yet? You know? No. And then the Mahamudra will work on you. You see, why? Because the seeds are there. The seeds are clean. The field is clean. The mind is clean. You see? Everything is ready. So you need that before you do these things. Otherwise they don't work. They won't work.
Yeah. Is that okay?
We're going to take a break. One thing. Can I get this thing? This is Mercedes. This is a thing that she's been working on. We are preparing 18 of these posters. This is number 2, and number 3 is in the can, I think. Number 3 is close to it. You did most of the work in number 3. But these are all the teachers in history who taught everything of it. Okay? Like, we're very big on lineage. We're very big on who should know. Over the last 2,500 years, each teacher who passed on what we're learning, like the stuff that you're getting here tonight is very authentic. Worldview number 5. Mahamudra meditation number 5 comes from this lineage. Okay? And so it's like baseball cards, you gotta collect them all. Okay? No, you should have in your hand and in your mind and in your heart. You should have your lineage. You should know, we call it family tree. This is your family. You have a genetic family, and then you have a spiritual family. And those are different things. You know, genetically you came from certain racial type, blah, 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 national lineage, blah, blah, blah. That's why your hair has such color and no hair in the middle of there. And, but this is your spiritual family. And you should know. And you should be proud. You know, I was a Mahamudra. I got up a Mahamudra teaching. I got the transmission. I'm in the lineage now. And at the bottom, you see the names of like 50 people who have been trained, who are teaching now these things to other people in this room. You see, so this is a really cool post, and I'd like you to get one, okay? You have to sign up with Mercedes. She's an illustrator. She has them. She can deliver them to you in the coming week or 2 weeks. So you just have to come out and sign up and go. The money is $25. We give the money as a donation to the schools. Goes as a donation to keep the place open. And $5 for the cost of the paper and the series breakfast. So.
They'll be available Monday
at the Asana
Training, also do
yoga
sutras.
Yeah. So there'll be a yoga sutras that'll be available Monday when we do the offers. That'll be available. Sign up now. She has a certain amount of it. But I think you should keep collecting them. You should know where this stuff comes from. You should check out a teacher. Where does this stuff come from? Is this stuff you made up in the bathroom while you were doing your dog thing? or you know, this is kind of a real tradition, a real lineage. And so you can check this out. We'll put it over there in the corner, and you can come up and check it out. Mercedes will be here. If you didn't get a chance to talk to Christopher High, please come up. We'll have more time tonight. We'll take a longer break than
we're going to do another meditation. We've got this special American meditation where you eat as many baked goods as you can, and especially brownies, and then you try to meditate. And new chakras open. Younger come out of the past, and then practice the news. And if you'd like to follow along, it's on page 13.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just gonna read it for good luck, okay? Sa shaila dalai patrinam yatadara hinayaka sarvesham yoga mantranam tatadara hi kundali. The Lord of Serpents is the foundation which supports all the lands of earth with their mountains and their forests. And just so is the coiled inner fire, the foundation that supports all the secret practices of yoga. This is a reference to the idea of kundalini, sometimes called chanda, chandalini, sometimes called tumo in Tibetan, and it means like inner fire or inner goddess. And there are many ways to visualize this goddess, many ways to think of her. But I think one useful way is a little bit special. So take your left hand, take your ring finger, good luck, touch the top of your hand, here. You have a special inner channel that goes from here, go up, top of the head, and then goes down to your neck, and then down to your heart. You gotta switch it. Let's see if you're doing your, I forget what that's called. Then down to the, down the backbone, all the way to the bottom of the backbone. And then you don't have to do it, but it comes up the front to the sexual organ. And there's a one special channel of energy which goes from here down to there. And we'll talk more about this when we do the yoga exercises together next Monday. But inside this channel is all your good thoughts, okay? All your thoughts of kindness, wisdom, happiness, they flow through this channel, okay? Then there are two other channels. We'll do one of them, okay? Take your left hand, like that, on the left side of your nose. It goes like that, goes up the left side, and here it crosses over that other channel, like a vine, or like a piece of ivy, and it comes back to the left side, goes to the top of the head, crosses over again, comes back to the left, comes down to the neck, crosses over again, comes down the back, twists around three times, one, two, three, at the heart. So hard to open the heart. Then down to the behind the navel, at the level of the navel, crosses over. Once a little time below that, and then the other is one, twice more, okay? You don't have to do it. Then there's a ratchet channel on this side. So it goes like this, crosses over, okay? In the classic drawing, you might see it crosses over three times. Have you seen that medical thing with the two snakes coming up the side? And, you know, I don't know what they call that. Cryptus? Whatever they call it. I think it comes from that. But anyway, there's a, it's like two serpents, as we say, twisting around three times, three main times around the body. And inside these two channels runs your negative thoughts. Like on one side is angry thoughts, and on the other side is wanting things, thoughts about wanting things too much. And then they cross over, like there and there and there. When you want things too much, for example, or you're getting angry, let's say you're getting angry, okay? Then a lot of prana or inner energy
flows through the side channel. And then it gets fatter, and it chokes off the central channel. It even reflects itself in your forehead. You go like this. And that tightens this knot here. It tightens the crossover point. It causes more pressure here. You see, when you get angry and you're concerned or you're upset, you're like this line here, these three lines, two lines, you get this line here. And then the wind is being cut off. Then when you take a hot shower and you got your back in the shower and there's hot water pouring on the nada at the back, it loosens. And then the nada, the inner music comes out, and you feel like singing, you see? And people do sing in the shower. And it's not a coincidence. There's a yogic explanation, you know? You should feel like you want to sing in the shower. It's very beautiful. So really it's like it's surfing. It's twining around the center channel. And then the practice of Mahamudra, and what they're saying in the first verse, the practice of Mahamudra is all about straightening out that serpent. Straightening out, release the tension where it crosses over. Like, if you got good at this Mahamudra practice, the yoga, now we're on to the yoga practice, right? The prana, the inner wings. The meditation is almost done. I'm doing now the body thing, okay? If you got good at this, this would be a sign. This would be smooth, you see? All the models want this, you know? No wrinkles up here, you know? And this knot here would be loosened. If the knot at the heart loosens, then you have ultimate love for people. Very extraordinary kind of experience. If this really opens ever once, you can see all the living creatures from every world, in every world, at the same moment. And you have this experience that you will spend the rest of your life serving them. You see? It's this extraordinary experience if you can open up this knot. There's three truths. So this is the idea, one of the interpretations of Kundalini, okay? The practice of Mahamudra is to straighten out and to release this power, Kundalini, in the body. So we'll be talking now about how to do that, okay? So let's go over the meditation guides for. And really, you can't get it in one night. It takes a while. You should go to Jay's class. Practice together. But just to get the idea straight, in the preliminary step, before you start the first of the six, you just try to watch the fact that you are happy with feeling. You see? So then you're not so wrapped up in the feeling. The feeling is something in your mind. But you're like separate in your mind, and you're watching yourself how you feel. So you can't examine the feeling until you can learn to watch the feeling. See? And a lot of the cool things get stuck there is you watch the feeling, but then they don't go anywhere. And it doesn't help you, you see? But it is true that at the beginning, the first job you have, learning to close your eyes, get in your head, and watch yourself having a feeling. Right? We even say, what's the word we use? I'm having a feeling. Right? So I must be separate from the feeling. Right? I am having a feeling happen to me. Right? So then you gotta observe who's the me and what's the feeling. So you have to get to that stage first. That's not a meditation yet. You just gotta get in there first. The advantage of that, again, as Christy said yesterday in the scriptures, is that it'll keep you awake. It's hard to get bored, it's hard to get sleepy, it's hard to think about breakfast if you're watching your feelings. Okay? It's a good place to start your meditation. Then you think about, how do I feel right now? I feel pretty good. Everybody's listening to me, I'm getting a lot of attention tonight. You know, that's cool. And then you're about to embark on a thought you never had before. This is going to change in 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, we'll be out in the car, some guy will come down and bring it off, and I'll be like, man, that's so bad, you know? And then I'm going to be having, it's naive, it's foolish to think that you're feeling things on the left, right? whatever good feeling you have, or bad feeling, right? It's naive. That's the first Mahamudra meditation. Get past that obstacle. Stop living in the present moment. Wake up. Your feelings are changing constantly. Okay? Whatever feeling you have now, good or bad, don't get too attached to it. In 10 minutes, it's going to be the opposite, and you know it. You know what I mean? Okay? So don't stress. Already, this first kind of emptiness, right? It's the emptiness of an unchanging feeling. Is there any such thing as an unchanging feeling? No. So we call it one kind of emptiness. Where is this unchanging feeling? Point to the unchanging, other pervasive, and living in the Yoga Sutra. Point to the unchanging feeling in this room. Point to a person who has an unchanging feeling. There isn't anybody. That's a kind of emptiness. Okay? You just locate the first kind of emptiness. That's the first kind of Mahamudra. Got it? It gets easier. What's the number?
It's two.
Three. Control.
Oh, yeah. Now, watch your feelings in the meditation. Here's number two. You're watching your feelings, and you feel like it's in your mind. So, it's like your shirt, you know, or your blouse. You want to take it on, you want to take it off. You can. That's what the mind needs. Mind needs, I decide whether I wear it or not. I cannot wear it, and I can wear it. I own it, right? Then you apply that to your thoughts, right? To your feelings. I can control how I'm going to feel in 5 minutes. Okay? I promise you, 5 minutes from now, I'll be as happy as I am now. I promise you. Why? It's in my mind. It's in my feelings. I own it. You think that. Then 5 minutes is bad. You remember, wait, 5 minutes ago I told so many people I was going to be happy in 5 minutes. Now I'm just feeling miserable. So you can get going after the class, you fight over whether I'm going to get popcorn. You know, because it's got no sugar, it's just now that you're not going to be there. And then I feel bad about it. And, I can't control it, you see? You can't control it. So then you're over the center of the meditation. See, you can't control your feelings. Can you control your shirt that you own? You own. Right? I own it. It's mine. Why? Because I can do with it what I want. Why? Because I pay the money for it. Yeah? So it's yours, right? Yeah. What's mine mean? Mine means I can do with it what I want. Right. So it won't be in a thrift shop down in Soho in 3 weeks from now. Right? Guarantee? Promise? You think your family's going to keep on your clothes when you pass? They always take it in the thrift shop. No, promise me it won't be in the thrift shop in 3 years. You own it. Right? You own it. Do you own it? You don't have control. You don't have control like that. Owning is a stupid idea. Owning, get that to Mahamudra number two. You don't own your thoughts. You can't tell me if you have to find it. So you don't own it. You don't control it. Okay? To get over that is the second one. What's the third one?
Same karmic seed.
Oh, yeah. This is hard, right? Somebody has to do it work, right? You need somebody who has to. And it's a long story, but we don't have time to go through it. But basically, according to our idea, you have created it from your karma. You hassle somebody before, a seed was planted in your subconscious, it stuck there, it ripened, it got in the prioritization line of the airplane at the runway at the airport, it reached takeoff, and boom, you met this person who hassled you. Right? We believe that. So, it's the idea that when you walk into a room and someone's hassling you, you can't be angry anymore at that. This is the third Mahamudra meditation. This is the third kind of emptiness. Point out to me a person in this room that you didn't create. Point out to me a situation in your life that you didn't create. Because you need to say to somebody else. There's no such thing. That's the third kind of meditation. That's the third Mahamudra. You see how you're dropping parts of your old self? I'm going to last forever. I'm going to be happy forever. Come on, in 5 minutes, can you tell me you're going to be happy? So you drop that idea of yourself. Then you got the second idea about yourself. But I control my life. I control myself. Yeah, tell me you'll be happy in 10 minutes. Tell me you can control that. Then you drop the second one. That's my hunger. You keep dropping parts of yourself that you don't need and have been causing you trouble forever. Right? Oh, but there's people I meet who are truly bad. You know? There's people I meet who I should be angry at. They did something to me wrong. Yeah, you point to me a person you meet that you didn't create. That's the third step. Then you drop another part of yourself. You see what I mean? Then you drop another unnecessary baggage. You see what I mean? There isn't anybody you meet that you didn't create. You should be going home and, like, hit yourself. You know? Stop lying to people. They didn't do anything. Okay? Somebody likes them. Is that another one?
What's the next one?
The fourth one is the label is not fixed.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah, that's the next one. Finally, a person who's truly evil. Finally, a person. We were in a coffee shop, and there was just a normal New York taxi driver. This is funny, funny guy, black guy in a big crowd, and we were talking, and he was driving us around, and he said, "Oh." He said, "I picked up a guy yesterday, it looked like Benjamin Franklin, you know." And we said, "You're lucky it wasn't Saddam Hussein, you know." And, you know, someone looked like him. And he turned around and he said, "But you know, his family probably loves him, you know." He just said that, you know, out of the blue. He said, "Probably his kids really like him, you know." He was just thinking, you know. But that's number four. That's my number four. You see, that I can't remember what you did. And it's like, no, it's like, this person that you don't like, somebody likes them. That's another proof that it's coming from you. That's another proof that it's coming from you. You can't find a person that someone doesn't like and someone's not attracted to. There's not a single person in the world that everybody thinks is the worst person in the world. You see? There's no such thing. Drop that part of yourself. See, now you've dropped another kind of unuseful self. You've dropped another part of your baggage that you've been carrying around. You think someone's not nice? Well, guess where it's coming from. Why? Because somebody loves them. Rinpoche, my nana, we would watch the news together, the leather club news. Like, I'd get home from work at 10:59, and we'd be watching the news together. And they'd say, "Okay, here's the kid who just shot 21 people in Brooklyn, you know, in a drug raid. He killed 21 people, you know." And they're driving this kid and his young kid to the street. And then they run and interview his mom. You know what they always say? "He's the best boy. He's the nicest boy. He's like unbelievable. People don't understand it." You know, remember just says, "Look, it proves number four. There's number four, you know? Somebody loves that person." So someone's experiencing that thing in a totally different way. Who's right? You or them? It's different. They're both right. Both have the karma to see them in a different way. Right? So that's the point. Drop that one. Drop it. You're still getting so liberated now, right? You're not attached to, "I'm going to be happy forever like I am right now." You know? Or you're not so attached to, "What was number two?" "Oh, I can be happy if I want to be happy. I just have to be happy. Be happy." You know, and then you can't be. Let that one go. What's the difference?
Same seat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't like this person. Yeah, well, stop blaming them. Blame you, you mean it. Then you drop this out of bed. You're literally inside. You let go of all this unnecessary stuff. Then number four. Okay, so you don't like it. Somebody else does. Somebody else's experience is them as a nice person. Whose fault is that you're not having a good time with them? Whose fault is that? Then you let that go. So far you're like, you're not expecting things to last forever. Then you're not thinking you can control them anymore. And then the third one was what?
Same seed.
Oh, they came from you. And then somebody loves them. You just have a different experience because you made that come. Then all of this is like liberating. Like by number four, you should be like, like go to California, you know? If you want to be.
Okay. What's number five?
Half and half.
Oh yeah. Number five is cool. Half of that bad person is coming from there. You know, they do have a red face. The mouth is turned down. You know, the teeth are turned. There are imitators out there. We don't say there's just something done. There is decibels. You know, there's stuff. There's physical data coming to you. We can't deny that. There's louder sounds coming at you. There's red colors coming from the face. There's growls coming out of your mouth. You know, something's coming at you. 50% is coming from your side, right? That stuff's coming, incoming shouts. Incoming artillery. Then half of it's coming from you. You see, you can take advantage of that attack. You can grab that thing and turn it around. You see, make the problem into a path. Okay? Dunya lam su zirpa. Kusum lam kiyar for those tantrikas. You can even do this with the experience of death. You can even do this with the experience of death. Grab that thing. Flip it around and use it for something. Use it for something good. I'll give you an example. I was in the diner business. I'm on the phone from near Yellowcombe when there were no phones from Sarah. I had to travel an hour and a half to get this phone that would reach the United States. I'm on the phone with my boss. He says, buy 2,000 cans of yellow diamonds. You know, I'm doing this. Check out yellow diamonds. Like, what did you say? Yeah, 10,000 diamonds. Okay, 10,000, you want 10,000 diamonds in small bay, right? Yeah, okay. And I go to the bar, and I go buy 10,000 diamonds. It's not so hard, because nobody wants them, right? And I go home, and I'm sitting in his office, overlooking the Hudson River, on the 7th and 9th floor, and we got this huge glass wall, in front of the river, you know, where the sun's breaking out, and another box comes from Briggs. The armored car comes up, the flight attendant from Bombay, he's sitting at the boardroom table, I'm at the other side, I'm 40 feet away.
And he opens this metal box, and there's 10,000 armored cars, and he goes, gosh damn, it's got some good stuff. I said, you told me, that was the next year, not that. Relax. Okay? Number three. Oh. you planted this tree. So what do you call it? You need to live with what you this word.
If you make
your tree in the bed you made. You know, don't get so you can use this the bad business in here. You know, don't get so weird. God happens. Number four.
Label.
Yeah. Somebody might see this as a good thing. You know, take comfort in the fact that your problem is probably someone else's pleasure. You see, somebody like, there's even people who pay in certain places downtown, I guess. You see, just look at it that way. Don't feel so worried. You know, you're talking to somebody who's rejoicing. So, relax. And then it's another fight. Yeah, like it's a problem. Okay, it's a problem. It's a real problem. There's a problem coming in. Do your best to make something good out of it. Look for the silver lining. Try to make something good out of it. Now, number six is radically different. And number six is the true one. Okay, so you got to get number six right. Number six says, stop the crap from happening in the first place. Don't become a crap manager. You see, my mom's here, she told me not to use these words, but I think it's important to know. Don't be a crap manager. Don't be like, my life has to be managing bad stuff in life. Is that how you want to spend your life? Just be a crap manager? Like, stuff happens. Try to think of it in a different way. Try to teach it in a different way. We laugh while having that with you, you know? No, you think that we're going to teach things like that all the time. We get that all the time. We laugh. Ask for dignity. What? My mother died. My father was sick. I don't even have a rent on each other tomorrow. What are you really laughing about? It's a problem. That's a problem. Number six says, stop the problem. Stop trying to laugh. Stop trying to have equanimity. Stop trying to deal with stuff. Stop trying to reinterpret stuff. It is bad. I'd rather not have anything happen to me than I have to reinterpret. You know? Could I just live in a world where I didn't have crap? And then I wouldn't have to interpret it and manage it? You know, could I just live in a place where I didn't have to suffer? And then I wouldn't need all those things for all those things? You know what I mean? Could we just arrange things that way? And then you can have the first fire. I'll fix it. You know? So fix it like that. How do you stop those things from ever happening in the first place? It's proactive, right? And we call that gardening. Gardening. In all the texts, it's called Tathagatashekhapa, fourth chapter of Yoga Sutra. Be as a farmer. Be as a gardener. Set up your reality in advance. Okay? Set up a world that's going to be no problem. Set up a no-crap world in advance, and then don't get crap managed. Just live in a world where it never happens. Okay? Set up your life so that the stuff doesn't happen bad. So then you don't have to go through all these gymnastics to try to make it better. Okay? And that's the ultimate mahamudra. That's the ultimate worldview. You have total power over preventing bad things from happening. In the future. Okay. What's happening to you now is going to go what you did in the past. You can't stop that right now. Push a tree back into the ground. Come on. Push a tree back into the ground. That ain't the way to do it. Pick up the acorn and smash. You see? When the seed is small, get the tree big. Don't wait till it's like 3-ton tree. You can't push it back into the ground. It's too late. You can't do. You can't control what's happening now. You can control what happens 6 months from now. Okay, so 6 months you can manage crap. And then at the end of 6 months there won't be any happening. You see? So set it up better. How do you do that? Take care of it. Just take care of it. Stop thinking about yourself. Okay? Take care of other people. It's very easy and it's very hard, right? Just take care of it. Every moment of the day, every chance you get, watch what other people do. Become a, how do you say, a spy, they say. Sotha. Watch what the world needs. spy on people, watch their eyes. People always look at what they want when they just come into a room. I am embarrassed because I know if I walk into a room and they're talking to cookies in the corner, I'm like, so they talk to me over here, and I'm like, yeah, how are you? Well, how did that happen? You know? Yeah, are you wrong? So, this practice is very holy. When you meet a person, watch their eyes. Find out what they got. And serve. Just serve. Then take care of everybody else first. And then, that's karma. Then everything works out perfect. Everything is beautiful in your life. And your life is like a dream. Your life is like a, I don't know, some kind of super holy LSD chair. You know? I never think I was here. But it's like an unbelievable life just unfolds before you. No more pragmatism. No more trying to deal with God's stuff. Just your whole life is like an unbelievable party. Your whole life is like it's like a dream, you see? So just take care of that people. You know? Then that's the last Mahamudra. That's the highest Mahamudra. No more dealing with stuff that's not part of you. No more baggage to drop. Just drop you, take care of you. It's really beautiful meditation. Okay. So, that's all we have. Please come on, okay? Again, don't be self-conscious, you know. Anyone who doesn't have a long time to practice, open that to come up. Big results. Very powerful results. Even if you have no interest in that kind of stuff. Okay. Then I'd like to ask Chelsea Dan.
Oh, Chelsea's preparing our expert, actually.
Oh. And Dan Carmen from the Haiti Institute for Peace. And
in the corner.
These two people made this happen. I'm not going to do it again.